welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 22nd, 2014, and I have today Dave Hamilton with me. Dave, it's nice to have you back.
It's nice to be back. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Kelly Gaumont. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you? It's been forever.
It's been far too long. All right. So topics for today. I thought we'd start off with a little discussion about Worldwide Developers Conference, because we just found out that Apple really is doing a keynote, which is no surprise, and it's going to be on June 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And of course, the Mac Observer will have all kinds of coverage about what comes out of that event. So be sure and check in with us for that. Interesting thing, though, is that it doesn't seem like anyone is really talking about what's going to be happening at the keynote.
No, it doesn't. That's what, 10 days away? It's not that far. So it's interesting, because usually by this point, it's rampant. The only thing you can hear about is rumors of what's going to come out at WWDC. We've heard about iOS 8 and its split screen mode, right, on the iPad, or multiple app mode, or whatever that's going to be. But that's all I recall hearing. Am I missing something? And if I am, it's still not enough.
Now, there are vague rumors about hardware announcements, but then there's always vague rumors about hardware announcements.
Right. And then there's people that tell you that hardware has never been announced at WWDC, and then there's people that remind them, no, the MacBook Pro was, and yada, yada, yada. And so, but we aren't even having that conversation.
No,
it seems like last year at this time, all that we were really hearing was this is what's going to be announced. We just don't know if it's going to be at 10:15 or 10:30.
Right. We were picking times. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was clearly it's going to be 10:15 because he has to announce A before he announces B. And then other people were saying, no, we're going to go with B at the beginning at 10:15 for the dramatic effect, so that then when we get A at 10:30, it's just going to be – like that was the level of debate happening 10 days before WWDC last year.
That's right.
And now we have people that are still wondering, well, are we going to see Iovine on stage because of the rumored Beats purchase?
That's right. But nobody has hacked into Iovine's TripIt account to see where he's going to be.
Yes. And what was it last year? Well, it was at one of Apple's keynote events where the keynote slides, someone got a hold of ahead of time.
I remember that.
So at that point, it wasn't even a matter of what's Apple going to introduce. It was a matter of how quickly can everyone download the keynote file.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting. Tim Cook did say that they were doubling down on secrecy a while back, and so maybe that means at some point, usually before these announcements, the leaks come out because Apple has to tell people about these things, and specifically people that they don't trust, right? Non-internal personnel. But maybe they've changed their path, or maybe they don't have anything interesting to talk to us about.
That in and of itself would be very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, my assumption is we will get some teasers for OS 10, 10.10.
OS 10 squared. OS
10. Maybe a name.
Actually, 10, 10, 10, wouldn't that be cubed?
That's cute, Jeff.
Yeah, well,
And then, does that mean that we're going to have to listen to everybody tell us that it's Rubik dacted, like we got the Roar dacted with Lion?
I'll send you to your room, Kelly.
The best one was for all of the Mavericks betas. Instead of putting redacted in brackets, people were putting Tom Cruise in brackets, which made me laugh.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, iOS 8, I think we'll hear something about that.
Yeah.
Which I'm always interested in. Like, people are like, oh, iOS is so over, whatever. But I'm always interested to see where they're going to take it, what's going to be next. Even when it was version 4, version 5, back when we were still going, is this the time that somebody from Apple is going to walk out on stage and tell us we can copy paste on our phones? Like, even back that far, it was still interesting to see where Apple was headed with iOS. And so I'm always interested in that piece.
Yep. No, hopefully it's a good keynote. Hopefully it's not, you know, 10 great things about OS 10 revisited. But,
yeah.
You know,
and
we'll find out.
Hopefully it's not Gil-Emilio all over again.
Well, and the other thing about this piece is particularly iOS 8. Like I said, I'm always interested in iOS, but I'm interested now that because I'm presuming that everything that they wanted to do with iOS 7, which happened before Johnny Ive got a hold of everything, has all been done. So I'm under the impression, this is all completely made up to me, but I'm under the impression that this is the first time that Johnny Ive had his hands in everything for long enough to really affect some change. So for me, the iOS 8 keynote is going to be terribly interesting, and it got terribly interesting as soon as they did all of the executive shuffling they did before. And we knew, yeah, iOS 7 was still going to be kind of partly, you know, skeuomorphism and all of that. And then now we're going to get something that's Johnny Ive top to bottom, and I really want to know what that's going to look like.
And we'll know in actually just a little over a week.
Yay!
So, all right, so we have the one aspect where Apple's not talking about what's coming. But now, to contrast that, we have Apple actually acknowledging things that they haven't before. And what I'm going at is we have the whole iMessages headache thing where messages aren't getting delivered to people's smartphones after they switch away from an iPhone. Apple has now acknowledged, yep, that's a problem, and we're working on a fix. We have the server side taken care of. We still have to push out an update to end users. And this is not the way Apple used to be. They would just be quiet, and then we'd get an update that would say bug fixes and improvements, and that would be that. And then we'd realize, oh, great, the problem's fixed.
But Apple is rarely sued about bugs. Too, though, right? I mean, there was a lot of talk about this, and Apple, I think they needed to do some damage control. And so talking about a solution en route is probably a good thing.
Yes, and it seems like there are more instances of this happening than there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And before we started the show, we were talking about some things like the go to fail bug. Apple acknowledging that, and it just occurred to me that that Tim Cook was very open about the problems with Maps,
mm-hmm.
and that was a very different thing too. That's not the Apple we used to know.
Not
no,
a
but
bit.
It's a good Apple.
Yeah, I like the idea of a more transparent Apple because there are a lot of security related things that we have to deal with that. If we have to go in blindly, we're more likely to get burned.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting more common all the time.
Yes. Now, in this case, we have a lawsuit. So I'm curious if you guys think that the lawsuit spurred Apple into an acknowledgement or if it just happened to be the timing.
I'm sure that it did. But as you pointed out, there have been plenty of other things that have not been predicated by a lawsuit that Apple has been, you know, to use the word forthcoming is it perhaps a little generous, but certainly been communicative about, and mm-hmm. and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think it was timing only because when I think about the scale of an IT department in Apple having to do something like this or developers at Apple having to execute on some sort of fix to make this a reality, it seems like the turnaround on it couldn't possibly be, even given all of their resources, it seems like the turnaround couldn't be quite what it would need to be in order for this to have happened after the lawsuit. So I like the idea of Apple being more like this instead of you're holding it wrong.
Yeah. I'm okay with a kinder, gentler Apple.
Yeah, but also I like the looping in, like this is an issue and, you know, a lot of people are experiencing this problem. Oh, okay, now I know. And, you know, as friendly neighborhood tech support, it's also just good for me to have that filed away. If somebody comes to complain about it, it's something I'm aware of, even if it's not something I'm experiencing.
Yes. All right. Now, I want to hit one more topic before we wrap up today.
Yes.
So I'm going to jump us back to the App Store, which is a topic that seems to come up not just here, but everywhere a lot. An app called Weed Farm, which is a – it's like a business game, and your business is growing and selling marijuana. That has been pulled from the iOS App Store, and the developers are clearly not happy, and it was a popular game. And I'm curious what you guys think about that, especially in light of the fact that we just recently had the whole thing with Happy Playtime getting rejected from the App Store. And yet there are other sex apps out there. And in this case, there are plenty of other weed-related apps on the App Store.
I think this has more to do with the former than the latter, Jeff. My son, not that long ago, a couple days ago, asked if he could download Weed Farm because it's a free game. And as long as you manage your money correctly in the game, you don't need to take advantage of in-app purchase. The in-app purchase is just to actually add cash to your guy's account, right? So that he can go and buy more seeds and more water and more plant and more pots and you know, grow his grow business.
Okay, so in that sense, it could be a candy store game or a pet store game. It just happens to be a marijuana store game.
You got it. That's right. Okay. Yeah. So it's a business. And I said, sure, you can download it. No problem. Now, some people may question my parenting choices about that, but then that's fine. Whatever. I downloaded it too. I remember it as a kid and I can't remember the name of it, but on my Apple II, there was a game. You didn't grow drugs, but you would go to different ports and you would buy certain things in one city and then sell them hopefully for more in another and move all around. And this game sort of reminded me of that because it was actually teaching you some valuable business skills and leveraging your ability to use those skills. So I'm like, yeah, fine. So he downloaded it and I downloaded it too. I thought, well, this is interesting. And I was actually having fun playing with it. Well, he went to bed and I kept playing. And so it was one of these rare opportunities where for a brief moment in time, I was ahead of my son in some video game. So I was pretty stoked about this, right?
Sure.
And there's various things you can do and different, doors is a metaphor, but different doors you can open in the game that allow different things to happen. And shortly after he went to bed, I wound up opening some of these metaphorical doors and then was getting, instead of just getting cash for my product, I was being offered trades of different sorts, and those trades from some of the clientele were people who were prostitutes and exotic dancers. And so that's when things sort of got interesting for me as a parent, because it was like, well, wait a minute, you know, my son's 12. He's aware of this stuff. We actually talk about it. It's not a problem. But I don't want to have him playing a game where he's actually leveraging these things. And so when he woke up the next morning, I said, hey, kiddo, you know, you gotta take this off your phone. I apologize. But you know, it's going to get into some stuff that I just can't have you doing every day. And so he took it off his phone. It was fine. But my guess is when I saw that it was pulled from the App Store, that's my guess as to why it was pulled, is those things, as opposed to the concept of you manufacturing and selling marijuana, because that was clear to the App Store reviewer right out of the gate. This other stuff was sort of a surprise and wasn't really, at least to me, wasn't talked about in the app's description.
Okay, so in this case, it looks like it may be a case not of being rejected, or in this case, pulled because of drug-related content, but of for what could be construed as sexually explicit content.
Right, especially if they weren't upfront about that. And like I said, certainly it was a surprise to me. I can't go back and look at the description because it's not in the App Store anymore. But I looked at it quick and said, yeah, sure, you can download it, kiddo. And that was that. So.
Well, and it took you a while to get there.
It did. It did, right.
It wouldn't have been if somebody went and walked through it to make sure that it wasn't it wasn't portraying owning a marijuana farm in some sort of, glamorous light or whatever, just to make sure.
Sure.
Then they never would have seen
No.
You know, gosh, I'd do anything. Yeah, they wouldn't have ever gotten as far as that is my guess. Oh,
okay. That's right. Now, so, what I should have done is reported it to either the developer or Apple. And my guess is that a lot of people did what I should have done, which was reported it to Apple, and hence Apple yanked it.
Okay, so it looks to me like the real problem in this case isn't so much Apple having conflicting messages that they're sending out about what apps are acceptable. This is an issue with the review process, in that the reviewers can only look at so much in an app before they give it a yes or a no, which means they're not going to be out there playing to conclusion every single game that's presented to them.
Correct.
And I don't know if there is a good solution to that problem, because I don't think it's reasonable to expect Apple to play every single game to conclusion.
No,
it's not. No, we have to – I mean, at some level, the developers need to be trusted.
And okay, so in this case, it may not be as much of a big deal as it sounds at first, because there was content that Apple just simply could not have, or likely would not have come across until it was brought to their attention later, as opposed to, oh, we just changed our mind.
Right.
Right.
All right. Well, then I guess maybe I should have gone a little easier on Apple this time.
Well, but it's still a problem. It's still a problem because there's a lot of things that get released in the App Store. Like, I've seen people have all kinds of trouble with submitting apps that get rejected on update for something that's been in the app the entire time. You know, this is the sixth update I've released. I was doing it to fix a memory leak, and, you know, now the app is no longer in the App Store. Because at some point, you know, five versions previous, there was something in the app that somebody else didn't see, and now the app is history. And I'm like, lots of developers are frustrated on all kinds of fronts because this is still a human process.
And there we go. And that's the big problem. And I guess Apple's going to have to keep working to find a solution to that. And on that melancholy note, I think we've hit a really great place to wrap up for today. And thanks to both of you for being on and joining me. You rock.
My pleasure. You rock too, Jeff.
So much.